Will you please turn to the Gospel according to Luke? Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we begin with verse 11. Luke 11, 11 through 13. But of whom of you that is a father shall a son ask bread, and the father shall give him a stone, or also a fish, and instead of fish shall give him a serpent? Or if also he shall ask an egg, shall give him a scorpion? If therefore ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much rather shall the Father who is of heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Prayer is based on relationship. If there is no relationship, there is no ground to pray, and there is no assurance for answer. Now, in the Old Testament time, so far as, well, it is true even today, so far as the world is concerned, the only relationship the world has with God is the relationship of the Creator and the created. That is the only ground that man could pray to God, as the created of the Creator. But in the Old Testament, with the children of Israel, they have a better relationship with God, because God is not only their Creator, but also their covenant God. So in the Old Testament time, you'll find that how they came to God, if not on the ground of being created, they could come to God on the ground that they were His covenant people. But here you'll find in the New Testament, with the coming of our Lord Jesus, through His death and resurrection, we are given a new relationship. It is a relationship of Father and Son. Because we remember when our Lord Jesus, after our Lord Jesus was resurrected, He told the woman, "Go and tell my brethren, I'm going to my Father, your Father, my God, and your God." So this is today the most basic of our relationship with God. The relationship of father and children is now the basis, the most basic ground by which we pray. You remember in John chapter 1 verse 12 said, "As many as receive Him, He will give them the authority to be the children of God." Now we are given the authority, the right of the children of God. As God's children, we have an authority over God. Now, of course, we have to understand what it means. You know, just like children, children who are born to the family, in a sense, they have some kind of authority over their parents. And the right understanding of that authority is not to rule or lord over, but rather they can claim certain rights with their parents because they are born to the family, and in a sense they have certain rights to their parents. They can ask for supply, ask for clothing, sustenance, protection. These are rights of the children, and these rights are, in a sense, authority. Now, we know that our God has authority over us, absolute authority, because we belong to Him. But because we are His children, therefore we have certain rights before Him. We have some claim that we can rightfully claim over Him. We can come to Him as if with authority, almost like demanding, but I would rather say claiming, as God's children. And one of our rights is prayer. We have the right to come to our Father to pray. This is our birthright. We do not need to hesitate, nor do we need to be afraid to pray, because we are praying to our Father. We have a right to pray, a right to ask. We can claim, make a claim upon Him. This is the authority that He has given to us. So it will be a kind of not exercising our rights or our authority if we do not pray, if we do not ask. We are encouraged to pray and to ask. There is no reason why we shouldn't, no reason why we should be afraid, no reason why we should doubt. We have the right, we have the authority as God's children to come and pray. And in order to encourage us, the Lord used an illustration. It is the illustration of a son asking for bread of his father. The son has a need. He needs bread. He asks of his father, will the father give him, instead of the bread, a stone? Impossible. If a child shall ask for fish, will the father give him a serpent? Never. If a child shall ask for an egg, will the father give him a scorpion? It cannot be. Sometimes the children may ask amiss, ask the wrong thing. And because of that, the father may withhold the wrong thing that he asked for. But oftentimes you'll find that even though he may ask wrongly, the father will give him the right thing. And certainly the reverse is impossible. If the child shall ask the right thing, bread, fish, egg, things that are the necessities of life, the father will never withhold these things from his son. He will never substitute these things with something that will be hurtful and harmful to his own child. That's impossible. And the Lord uses it as an illustration to show us that we, being evil, know how to do good, give good gifts to our children. Now, basically, we are evil because we have fallen. But even though we are evil, yet when you come to the matter of the relationship of father and son, in spite of us being evil, we still know how to give good gifts to our children. We love our children. We give them good gifts. We will not try to purposely try to hurt them or harm them. Now, sometimes we may inadvertently do it, but certainly that is not our desire. Now, how much more our God, who is good, He is a good Father. The Lord said there is no one good but God. And our God is a good God, He is a good Father. Now, how much more He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Now, what I want to try to say is this. In James chapter 4, we are told, you do not have because you ask not. Oftentimes, we do not have. The reason why we don't have is because we do not ask. If we have a need, a legitimate need, if we need bread, we are hungry, we need fish, we need egg to nourish us, we should ask. Spiritually, physically, whatever our need may be, we should ask our Father. If we do not ask, we do not have. But we ask, it shall be given to you. Now maybe we say, well, we did ask, but we didn't receive. Well, it's because sometimes we ask amiss. We want to indulge ourselves, to use it upon ourselves, to indulge our flesh. And the Father knows better. He does not want us to fall into such indulgence. So He withholds what we ask for. But certainly, if this is our need, whether it is spiritual need or whether it is physical need, we are His children. He is our Father. We have the right, we have the authority. We can come to Him and ask and claim, and He will not refuse us. But there is something more than that. The Bible says, how much more your Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Now, there are two different ways to look at this verse. One is, you are asking the Father for the Holy Spirit. And if you are asking the Father for the Holy Spirit, how much more He will give the Holy Spirit to you. That is one way of looking at this verse. Another way of looking at this verse is, you are asking for bread, not the Holy Spirit. But He will give you the Holy Spirit and the bread. You're asking for fish. He will give you the Holy Spirit with a fish. You're asking for egg. He will give you the Holy Spirit and the egg. Now, this is our Heavenly Father. You know, oftentimes when we are praying for certain need, probably all we expect is that need will be met. Suppose we are asking, say, for healing. All we expect is healing. Or we are praying for expansion. All we expect is expansion. Or we may be praying for a conference. All we may expect is that there will be a conference. But this is not the way that God works. Because if we ask for healing, what the Father will give is not only healing, but the Holy Spirit. What will healing be if He does not give us the Holy Spirit? Oftentimes when you are praying for healing or for something, you find that God gives us first the Holy Spirit to convict us, to search us, to bring us to a right relationship with Him, to fill us with His Spirit, and then following that will be healing or whatever we ask for. And the same thing is true. If we are asking for expansion, don't expect that He will just expand us physically. First of all, He will give us the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is given, well, we may have to repent. Well, this may be unexpected. We say we are praying for expansion. But God, in answering us as Father, He will give us the Holy Spirit to bring us to conviction, probably. He will do something more just give us expansion. Because what will expansion be? Suppose we are expanded physically. And if the Holy Spirit is not in it, is not with us, what's added will be just an external, temporary, empty thing. And it will become a white elephant, probably. It will cause more problem, more trouble. So He will give us the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. And dear brothers and sisters, when He gives the Holy Spirit, you can expect anything to happen. Not as we expect. He will surprise us because He moves on a higher ground. Every time the Holy Spirit is given, you find He surprises us. But that is the way God answers prayer as our Father. That is the best gift. It is better than bread, better than fish, and better than egg. But after He gives the Holy Spirit, then we know there will be bread, there will be fish, and there will be egg. This is our Heavenly Father. So I do hope that as we come to Him tonight, now it is true, sometimes we come to Him as friends, as we say last Wednesday. But at the very, very basis of all relationships, there is the relationship of Father and Son, Father and children. So let us come to Him as little children, believing, trusting, that if we ask that which is legitimate in His eyes, according to His will, He will give us. But remember, He will give us the Holy Spirit with what we ask for.
This concludes message number 26. Message 27 follows.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And Jesus, going forth from thence, went away into the parts of Tyre and Sidon. And lo, a Canaanitish woman, coming out from those borders, cried to Him, saying, Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is miserably possessed by a demon. But He did not answer her a word. And His disciples came to Him and asked Him, saying, Dismiss her, for she cries after us. But He answering said, I have not been sent save to the lost sheep of Israel's house. But she came and did Him homage, saying, Lord, help me. But he answering said, it is not well to take the bread of the children and cast it to the dogs. But she said, yea, Lord, for even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the table of their masters. Then Jesus answering said to her, O woman, great, thy faith is great. Be it to thee as thou desirest. And her daughter was healed from that hour. We mentioned before that prayer is based on relationship. If there is the right relationship, then there is the ground to pray. We have a relationship with God, our Father. And as children, we have the right, the authority to ask and to pray to our Heavenly Father. We also mentioned that our relationship with the Lord is a kind of friendship. He calls us friends. And as friend who sticks closer than a brother, certainly he will rise up and answer all our prayers. But this evening I would like to say something different. In other words, it is true that prayer is based on relationship. But there is something which is not relationship, and yet it can be ground for our prayer. I do not know the right word, but I try to use the word concession. Concession is also a ground for our prayer. Now, what is concession? One dictionary gives the definition of faith. Grace. Now, what is grace? It says grace is a concession that cannot be claimed as a right. In other words, if it is a right, we have the right to ask for it, then it is not a concession. A concession is cannot be claimed as a right, but it is something given to us as a favor. So, to me, I feel that in order to encourage us to pray, the Lord does show us in His Word that He makes many concessions to us in order to encourage us to pray. Even if the relationship is not there. Now, of course, we know the relationship is always there. But be over and above and beyond relationship, God condescends to give us a number of concessions to enable us to pray. And all these concessions are like handles. You know, like handles. God gave us a handle that we can lay a hold of and turn it, as it were. And one of the concessions on prayer is given in this particular instance. Here you'll find a Canaanitish woman came, son of David, have pity on me, because her daughter was demon-possessed. Now, as a Canaanitish woman, she had no right to the Lord. Especially when she addressed the Lord as Son of David. What has the Son of David to do with a Canaanitish woman? Because as the Son of David, he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So this woman had absolutely no right to claim upon the Lord. No wonder she cried and cried, but the Lord did not answer, did not say a word. because she had no claim whatsoever upon the Lord. And she cried so much that the disciples were disturbed. They thought it was very much not like the Lord. Because whenever people cried, the Lord always, you know, responded right away. And even before people cried, he would respond. But in this particular case, the Lord acted very strangely. This Canaanitish woman followed her and cried after her, "Son of David, have pity, have mercy." But the Lord didn't say a word. He wouldn't answer. So much so that the disciples were disturbed. So they came to the Lord and said, "Now do something. If you're not going to respond to her cry, then dismiss her. Let her go. Tell her that there is nothing for you." And it was at this moment that our Lord began to explain why. He said, "It is the Son of David is sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not for the Gentiles." In other words, this woman had no claim upon him as the Son of David. And then the woman came and said, "Lord, help me." Now, of course, you notice they are a little bit changed here. Instead of Son of David, he said, "Lord. Lord, help me." Then the Lord began to say, in the same way as he answered the disciple, he said, "It is not well to take the bread of the children and cast it to the dogs." You know, the Jews looked down upon the Gentiles and called them dogs. Why? Because the Gentiles are unclean. The Jews are clean because they only eat the clean food, according to Leviticus. But the Gentiles eat the unclean food, therefore that makes the Gentiles unclean. So the Lord said, "It is not well to give the bread of the children." He is saying to the house of Israel, he is to give bread to the children of Israel. It is not well to give the bread of the children to the dogs. No relationship. But when the Lord said dogs, he uses a different word. The dogs here are not wild dogs. The dogs here are little dogs, pet dogs, domesticated dogs. In other words, here you'll find our Lord give a concession to this woman. So far as relationship is concerned, there is no relationship. No claim. But now the Lord give her a concession. It is true, you are not of the house of Israel, but I consider you as a pet dog, a dog that belongs to the house. And immediately you find that woman took hold of that word. She acknowledged, she said, "Yes, I'm a dog." I think that is important, because we need to realize what we are. Oftentimes when we come to the Lord, we do not know what we are. We think we deserve something. We think we have a right to something. But when we realize that actually we have no right, but the Lord has given us a concession, because we are created by him, therefore we belong to him. Not as children, but as pet dogs. We do not deserve to eat at the table, but certainly we can pick up some crumbs under the table. So here you'll find the woman just take hold of the word of God as a handle and turn as a key, turn
the door, and the door is open. And the Lord said, great is your faith. In other words, she knows how to humble herself before the Lord and lay hold of the concession that God has given her. And the concession here is the word of our Lord Jesus. If our Lord should keep silent and would not say anything, that woman was finished. But our Lord opened his mouth. And even though outwardly it may sound harsh, but actually the Lord was opening a way for her. Through that word, as a concession, the woman took hold of that word and had her request granted. And you find this in many places in the Bible. You know, when we come to pray, thank God we have a relationship, more than one relationship. But when we come to pray, oftentimes you'll find it will help us very much if we know how to lay hold of the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God is God's concession to us. If he keeps silent, we don't know what he will do or what he will not do. We do not know his will. But if he speaks, if he has spoken, and he has spoken, and his word is a concession to us, his grace, his word is given to us for us to lay hold of. And if we only know how to lay hold of God's word, you will find our prayer will be more effective. For instance, Moses, in Exodus, after the children of Israel sinned against God, he went up to the mountain to intercede for the children of Israel. Now God already said, I will destroy the whole nation and raise up your seed to be a nation. But Moses pleaded with God. Moses said, no, don't do that. And if you read Exodus, you'll find Moses based his pleading on two grounds. One is your own name. What will happen to your name? You delivered these children of Israel out of Egypt with a strong arm, and now you destroy them. What will the Egyptians say? It will reflect upon your name. And I think this is something that really is another concession that we can lay hold of in our pleading with God, his name. But the other thing is, he pleaded with God, said, now you have promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have sworn to them that you will multiply their seed and you will give the land to them as their inheritance. Now here is your word. You cannot deny yourself. You cannot go back on your word. You have to do what you say. And using God's own word, the Bible said God repented of the evil that he has decided to do to the children. The word. The same thing you will find in the prayer of Nehemiah. And you can find it in many instances in the scripture. People who really know how to pray, how to intercede, they know how to lay hold of God's concession. They know how to lay hold of God's word. It is always good if in our prayer we can remind God of what He has said. Now, if we know how to remind God of His Word, of what He has spoken, that will give effectiveness to our prayer. So I do hope that as we are praying, that the Holy Spirit will quicken God's Word to our heart. And as His Word is given to us, we can use it as a handle in our prayer. God's concession is His grace.
This concludes message 27. Message number 28 follows.
Will you please turn to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We begin with verse 23. Or maybe 22. Verse 22. And Jesus answering says to them, have faith in God. Verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou taken away and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says takes place, whatever he shall say shall come to pass for him. For this reason I say to you, all things whatsoever ye pray for and ask, believe that ye receive it, and it shall come to pass for you. Here our Lord Jesus teaches us a very great lesson on prayer. Of course, we know the incident. One morning our Lord Jesus was on his way from Bethany to Jerusalem, and he was hungry. He saw a fig tree full of leaves, but he couldn't find any fruit on it. So he cursed that fig tree. Now that's the only thing that our Lord Jesus cursed during his lifetime. And the next morning, when they passed through that fig tree, Peter noticed that the fig tree had withered. So Peter said to the Lord, Rabbi, see, the fig tree which thou cuttest is dried up. And then our Lord said, have faith in God. Literally, have faith in God is have the faith of God. Have faith in God. Originally, it is have the faith of God. What is the faith of God? God has faith. And what is His faith? He believes that whatever He says is done. That is His faith. You remember in Genesis, God said, let there be light, and light was. God never doubts His own word. When He speaks, it is done. His word is as good as His act. That is the faith of God. And here our Lord Jesus demonstrated that faith. He spoke to the fig tree. He had no doubt that it would be withered. And it was withered. Now it might be a surprise to Peter, but to our Lord it was as natural as it could be, because He had spoken. That is the faith of God. And here our Lord Jesus said, have the faith of God.
In other words, he exhorts us to have that kind of faith. It is not something beyond us. It is not something that we cannot receive. Because he said, have faith in God, have the faith of God. To have the faith of God is not only a possibility, but it is a command. In a sense, this is the only genuine kind of faith. Real faith is this kind of faith. The faith of God, God's faith. We do not have any faith. It has to be God's faith in us. If we do not have faith, all we see is mountain. Mountain that looms high before us, that blocks our way, difficulty, problem, no way out, and we will be crushed. But if we have God's faith, if we see God, if we believe in His power, then we can speak to the mountain and command it to be removed to the sea. In other words, the way is clear. And here the Lord said, all things for this reason I say to you, all things whatsoever ye ask, pray for and ask, believe that ye receive it. Now in the original, it says believe that ye received it. Not only believe that you shall receive it, or believe that you receive it, but believe that you received it. In other words, when you pray and ask, you believe you received it. You first receive what you pray for in faith, and then you will receive it in fact. You do not wait to receive it until you receive it in fact. But you receive it first in faith. And then according to your faith shall it be done to you. Now this is the faith of God. Now the Lord said, whatsoever ye pray for and ask for, believe that you receive it. Now this is not to be presumptuous, nor it is a psychological suggestion. It is not. It is faith. Of course we know whatsoever we ask or pray for is according to His will. Because in other places in the scripture you'll find that if we ask according to His will, we have the confidence that He answers us. If we are really one with God, if we are really united with Christ, if we really know what His will is, then when we pray and ask, we ought to believe that we received it. Otherwise, it's a lack of faith. See, there's a difference between faith and hope. hope is expecting something to happen. But faith is believing that it has already happened. Why? Because faith is the substantiating of the things hoped for. It is true that this is the thing hoped for, but faith has already substantiated and already see it, that it is done. And that's faith. Faith is to see what God sees. Faith is believing in God's power. Whatsoever ye pray and ask. In other words, we are uttering for God His word or His will. And if we are uttering for Him His will, then we ought to believe that we receive it. And it shall come to pass for us. Sometimes we may think that this seems to be too difficult for us to exercise such faith. But when you really think about it, you realize that anything less than that is really not faith. It's hope, but not faith. Faith is believing in God, believing in God's word, believing in His will, believing in His power, believing that it is done. Now that's faith.